Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Last week was so much fun. I had the opportunity of being with Russell down in Phoenix at Joe Polish and Dean Graziosi's 100K Group. And while we were there, they brought in a special guest, Molly Bloom. If you're familiar with the movie that came out the first of the year, Molly's Game, was basically she talked about her story and her life. And she's known as the poker princess because of all the crazy things she was actually able to pull off. So if you're not very familiar with her story, again, go watch the video, watch the trailer. I'll try to post the trailer down below. But this is a woman basically who started off as an Olympic hopeful skiing from from just outside of Denver in Colorado, and ended up eventually trying to go into law school and everything else. Things didn't work out exactly how she wanted. And so what happened was she ended up getting a job down in L.A., and her boss on the side had kind of things going on where he had his own little poker thing going. Well, this became an enormous opportunity for her, where she ended up literally becoming known as the poker princess. And again, I won't take away all of her thunder. Go ahead and take a look at the trailer down below. But understand what happened was she got to the point where she was dealing with Hollywood's elite as well as the, top athletes across the country as well as a whole bunch of other gamblers and things. And it was fascinating just kind of talking to her about her story. So it was basically $250,000 to come to her poker parties is kind of what it started at. And then what ended up happening was because of all the things that she was doing, all of a sudden, she ended up getting her house raided by the FBI and ended up standing in front of a judge facing 20 years in prison. So I want to kind of tell you some of the things that she talked about, what the insights I gathered from her life experiences. And in probably the next month or so, she's actually going to be on the podcast, and then I'll let her tell her whole story. So one of the things that she mentioned was how important it is that people actually value experiences. And this is the thing I can tell you I've seen in so many different things from a marketing side where what she said was what mattered most was the experience. It wasn't the actual game itself. It was the lavish hotels. It was the way that people were treated. It was the way her presentation was given and the secrecy behind it. And it was this whole crazy experience and this massive adrenaline rush that she created around these poker tournaments that made people just value her as the host. And she said she basically never did anything wrong until she started taking a percentage of the pot. And that's where things went wrong for her. But the thing she said was what she learned out of all of it was how important the experiences were. And she said when you start looking at your own marketing, you got to look at the types of things. What are the experiences that you're giving to your clients? It's that culture that we talk so much about. You hear it referred to as far as culture. Because we really try to make sure that it's an experience. If you take a look at Funnel Hacking Live, we try to make it a massive, massive experience for people when they attend. That's not a normal type of event. Almost verges on that of being a rock concert type of deal. As you take a look at your own marketing and the way in which you speak with and you communicate with anybody who's following you, what is the type of experience that they're getting with you? And try to find some way of increasing that experience. Take, for example, one of the things we added to our last offering of our Two Comma Club X coaching program was to go on a cruise with Russell and the other coaches. And so that enhances and adds to the actual product itself. Yannick Silver used to have his Maverick trips, which were these just crazy, crazy experiences, whether it was down in the Baja racing down there or doing zero-G flights or these halo type of events, skydiving. And so understand that as you take a look at the people that you're working with, what are the type of experiences that they want? People go to live events for an experience. People attend webinars for an experience. People go to movies for an experience. So look at your own marketing and find out what is the type of experience that you're giving them. Second thing she said was you need to get comfortable taking risks. Again, she started off as an Olympic hopeful and ended up having to, she had a real bad scoliosis in her neck and had to have her vertebrae fused. And because of that, she wasn't able to compete. But she said she got very, very good at an early age of understanding the importance of taking risks. As an entrepreneur, that's one of the main things you have to understand. You have to get very, very good at feeling comfortable taking those risks. And that comfort comes literally by just taking more and more risks and understanding how far you really can go. Frequently, we've got our mindset that's telling us, oh, you can't do that, you can't do this. Realize that there's so much more that you really can do if you're really willing to stretch yourself. So get uncomfortable taking risks. Number three, she said, was that she was absolutely shocked when she realized how much could happen in a very short period of time. She said, you know what? Literally, anything can happen in your life if you really focus on it and try to make things happen. She goes, 4 years ago, she was standing in front of a judge facing prison term of over 20 years. And 4 years later, she was on the red carpet attending the Oscars. In a four-year period of time, her whole life changed. So realize no matter what your past is, no matter how bad you may think things have been, the future is whatever you want to make of it. And you got to go all out. You got to find a way of playing the game and of really realizing that life is there to be lived and get comfortable taking risks, but more importantly, make sure you're going for it and that you know what you really want long term. Number four, she said, is you have to know your numbers. She said, especially in her high risks poker type of game, she really had to know her numbers. She said she never wanted to have really, really good poker players at the table because they would win all the time. She said what she really hoped is that she understood her numbers, and what she wanted was a very large amount of money circulating among the same players every single month or during her frequency. So by the end of the year, people looked back and said, you know what? I kind of broke even, or I didn't lose that much, or that, you know what? I love the experience behind it, and it was just the cost of admission. She said, you got to get very, very good at knowing your numbers, especially in business. Obviously, from a marketing standpoint, we always talk a ton about what's your average cart value, what's your cost to acquire a customer. Those are some of the two most important metrics because at that point, if you can get your cost to acquire a customer to be less than or equal to your average cart value, you literally can throw as much money into that as you want as long as you've got a big back end, because the back end is going to be fueled by free customers. So realize that you've got to know your numbers. Number five was celebrity currency. And this is one of the things Russell and I have talked so much about, celebrity currency. This goes back to the importance of you have to make sure that you're always relevant. And like last year when we were going out to launch Russell's book, Expert Secrets, I was fascinated to see as we started going towards our Dream 100 how many people had not moved towards Facebook. Everyone was still only had email lists. Where we were looking at really expanding and doing a Facebook Live book tour, a lot of the people we'd worked with in the past hadn't remained relevant or hadn't grown into the next big thing. Same thing years ago, in fact, it's my 10-year anniversary, my very first internet marketing product was a product called Legendary Marketers, where I flew around the country, and it was kind of like an MTV Cribs type of thing where I filmed, at that time, eight of the best internet marketers to see what their lifestyle was like, to see what their business was like. And fast forward 10 years, Russell, we were joking, and he said, you know, maybe we ought to do a 10-year special, you know, kind of a where are they now type of episode. Russell was one of the eight that I filmed. It was kind of where my genesis and my business relationship with Russell started, you know, 10 years ago doing that. But the crazy thing is I take a look at that. Of the eight that I filmed, there's only two, maybe three, that have remained relevant. Everyone else has kind of gone by the wayside. So understand you have to remain relevant. The way you remain relevant is you continue to publish. You continue to grow. You continue to learn. You continue to do everything you possibly can to provide more and more content and feedback to the marketplace. So remaining relevant is the currency that you create, and that typically comes through being out there and publishing on a regular basis. Number six, kind of similar to this, but ties into the value of relationships. I talked about this so many times that my kids, I'm sure, are sick and tired of hearing it, but I'm a huge believer that in life, there's nothing more important than the relationships that you have with others, and you have to spend the time to develop those relationships. I'm not a person who's got really deep relationships with a whole bunch of people. There's really only a handful that I have really deep, deep relationships with. But at the same time, I value the relationships that I've built over the last 20 plus years of being in business. Because it's through those relationships that you establish your integrity, that it's through those relationships that you actually cross paths so many different times. I've been fascinated just to see over the last 10 years how many times I've ran into people either on my way up or on my way down of my financial career or business career or whatever it might be, and realizing the importance of you always have to treat people the same, no matter if they're the CEO or if they're the janitor. To me, it's always the same. And understand that the value of those relationships is something you need to invest in. Number seven, she said, were the blind spots. And she said, no matter who you are, every single one of us has blind spots. And those blind spots, for her, it was greed and significance. She could never get enough. It was, if so-and-so was making this, she wanted to make this much more. And the other thing was significance, where she wanted, significance was, as you'll see in life, people who are highly significant driven, they do a whole bunch of things that typically they probably wouldn't do if significance wasn't that important. Significance is something that every single one of us craves in life, but you have to decide at what is the cost of that significance, and more importantly, what does significance look like to you? Greed, obviously, it goes without saying as far as what that is, but every one of us have some sort of a greed element. There's certain things we want, and it's how do you control that, and how do you... I think one of the main things I've seen in my own personal life is being able to be excited for other people's success. By being able to be excited for other people's success, it's that gratitude that you get in your life. And the weirdest thing is stuff comes back to you. Jealousy and greed are two of the biggest cancers in any business. And as I was talking with Molly about it, she says, you know what, that was one of her biggest things was she just always wanted more. And it was typically what someone else had. So in her case, there was a business partner who had things on the East Coast or on the West Coast. And she's like, well, if I can't do that, I'll take the East Coast and then I'll come back and I'll gobble him up, which she did. Number eight was to find joy in everyday life. This is kind of just the opposite of what she was saying as far as the blind spots. She said once she realized what her blind spots were, she had the opportunity of really focusing and finding joy in everyday life. And that actually is where her true significance came from. It was a mind shift. It was an emotional shift. It was a significance shift where she really started to realize that she could live in the smaller moments, that it didn't have to be an adrenaline rush 24/7. She made mention as far as like with her grandma, how she used to think her grandma was just this silly old lady who had no insights whatsoever. And as everything was taken away from her, she found herself spending time with her grandma and how much after a while she actually looked forward to those times of just going to sit with her grandma and just to talk. And to realize how important that time was for not only for her grandma, but how important it was for Molly as well. So I really encourage you guys to find out how do you find joy in your everyday life? I know as entrepreneurs, we're typically hard pushing, driving to the next thing. As soon as we achieve whatever we're looking for, we really never celebrate it. There's on to the next. My wife has been really good for me in this area of making sure that I take a step back and enjoy the process, enjoy the game of life, and have fun and celebrate the wins. Celebrating the wins, to me, has been a ton of fun, but more important for that is actually celebrating the process of the win, enjoying the pain of the workout at times, enjoying going through just the everyday life piece of it, and I can't thank my wife enough for the way when she's taught me that. The other thing she talked about, and this was one of the things I see happen quite a bit is number nine here, and that was the constant reaction and stimulus. When you live in a situation or an environment where you have a ton of stimulus around you and things are always being thrown at you, what it actually does is it typically decreases your creativity and your imagination. And she said when she didn't have as much going on and when she was starting her business, she was super, super creative. But then all of a sudden when there was such a massive amount of stimulus and such insane amount of just reactivity for her, it's where she got sloppy. It's where she made a lot of mistakes. And she said if she was to do it all over again on that aspect, one of the main things she would do is to take time to take a step back and to really focus and to get your own quiet time, because it's during that quiet time that you get the imagination, that the creativity to come. That's really, that quiet time is the most important thing for an entrepreneur, which is hardest thing to find because you think I've got a million things I got to do. But as you spend that time focusing on that quiet time, whether it's in the morning or at night or maybe it's during the day where you literally shut everything off, you turn off the phones, you turn off the computer, shut down the Wi-Fi, and you literally sit and think and try to focus on being creative and being imaginative, that's where problems really truly get solved. That's where you get these huge breakthroughs. The problem for most of us is we live in just a quick stimulus response 24/7. And because of that, you look back at the end of the year and you're like, oh my gosh, I really didn't accomplish as much as I thought, or I'm not being as creative as I used to be. So I really encourage you guys to find that time, make the time, and by making that time, you'll find that you're much more creative and that your imagination flows. Again, it was a great experience just spending time with Molly. She's going to be on our podcast here hopefully the next month or so as we get some dates together. But again, as you take a look at some things I learned from her, I hope that some of these will actually be of value and benefit to you and your business. And most importantly, I mentioned this quite a bit, and that's the importance of publishing. It's the importance of remaining relevant. And whether that publishing is your own content or of taking someone else's content. You've seen on this podcast, I've gone both ways, where when I first started, everything was someone else's content. Recently, I've really tried to start adding more of my own in. And I appreciate the feedback I've been getting from others who are saying that they're enjoying that or liking my insights on it. So if you find that these things are of value to you, by all means, just let me know. Hit me up on Facebook or email me, whatever it might be. I really want to make sure that I'm providing value to you. If there's certain people you want me to interview, by all means, just email me who they are and we'll try to get them on the podcast. Once again, I thank you so much for your time and listening to this and hope you're finding value in this. Have an amazing day and we'll talk to you guys soon. You know, one of the things that means a ton to me is the personal reviews that you guys leave on iTunes. If you wouldn't mind going out, rate the show. Let me know how I'm doing. Just go to iTunes, click on the episode and rate it. Leave a comment. I read all the comments. I appreciate all the stars and everything everyone already left for me. Again, I really appreciate it. And it's my way of finding out how I'm doing. So if you don't mind, I'd really appreciate it. And I, again, thank you so much for all that you guys do. Have a great day.